Book of James. I've really been enjoying preaching out of the Book of James, and there's a lot of things in here I didn't really even understand or recognize. I never really studied it as deeply as I have in the last few weeks, but I'm just thankful for the admonition that he gives us about faith and having faith. We'll be in chapter 4, but don't quite stand yet. I'll let you know when we're going to read, but as you know, James here, we have to. Whenever we preach, anytime that we even read out of the Word of God and try to, in any way, take truth from the Word of God and apply it to our lives, we have to make sure that we know what's going on, like the context, like what the author is saying to the people he's writing to. Because until you understand that, you're not going to be able to make it a timeless principle, right? Because without the context, you could say a lot of weird things, even in the book of James. So it's keep in mind that he's writing to these people that are Christian Jews, right? Jewish Christians from the city of Jerusalem, from that church of Jerusalem that was doing well and it was growing and flourishing and exciting, and they were just serving God. And because of that, only because of their faith in God, only because of their belief that Christ was the Messiah and the start of the church and all of these things, the surrounding leadership in that area was not okay with it, right? And they were persecuting these people, and they were some were being imprisoned, some were put to death, some were beaten, and so they had to flee from their homes there in Jerusalem and flee to these other places, where when they got to these other places, many times were oppressed, many times many times they didn't bring anything with them, and so when they got there to make a living, the rich of the land were unkind to them, and they took advantage of them and were oppressing them. But as this text points out, not everybody was that way. Some of them were able to find a living. Some of them were able to do something and provide for themselves. And in our text here, James is addressing Christian merchants. These are some of the people that, James used to be the pastor of these people, the pastor of that church in Jerusalem where these people had to flee from. And James is exhorting them, and he's exhorting them to have faith in all aspects of life. And for the most part, these people were oppressed and are going through a very difficult time. And the way to deal with a difficult time is through what? By faith, right? We talked about that. Faith to know that even the hard times are used by God to develop us and grow us and make us more mature Christians. To know that the testing of our faith will bring us to become more mature Christians. And that faith, when you truly have faith, will produce works in your life. And that faith is the root cause of every sin that we really commit. Eventually, it all stems back to a lack of faith in the Word of God in some way, right? And so now he's addressing these people who really are doing probably pretty well. They're Christian merchants. Their job was to go to and fro to the cities and buy and sell and bring back the money back. And so obviously this could be a very lucrative thing. And so but even whenever life is going well, and whenever you have what you need in this life, obviously even in those times you need to have faith. And it's easy to not have faith in those times, isn't it? It's kind of a weird deal that whenever your life is hard and things are rough, in a sense, it's easier to have faith because it's easier to be humble, right? And it's easier to recognize that you do need God. In fact, you're desperately in need of him, and that he's the only one that really does provide. But as he provides and gives us what we need and we live a more comfortable life, sometimes we can get to where we don't need God anymore, right? Sometimes we can get there. Oh, we're doing good now, so let's go ahead and put God back where he was, and then we'll get back to our life. And then eventually, as a Christian, he'll chastise you for that, eventually, because he loves you. And he knows that if you continue on your path, that it'll destroy you. And so he'll chastise you, and he'll bring you low. If being low is the only thing that's going to make you recognize God, he'll bring you low. And you'll recognize God, and you'll come back to him. But sometimes whenever life is going well, we tend to not think about God as much. And that's kind of what's going on in this passage. So we'll get into it. Verse 13, if you would stand for the reading of God's word. I like to do that. In reverence of the infallible, inerrant, preserved word of the living God is what we're reading from tonight. And I'm thankful for it. And so let's really give heed to that. James chapter 4, verse 13 says this. Go to now. That means listen up. Ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. Right there he's saying, you're boasting in your boastings. That's how proud they were. And all such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him, the famous verse that we probably all know, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And there's a context to that, and we'll talk about that. So the title of our message tonight is Faith for the Future. Faith for the Future. Let's pray, and then we'll get into the message tonight. Lord, thank you again so much for your word. Lord, we're thankful that you've given us your word, you're the very words of God, to know how to live in this life and to know what to have faith in, Lord, that you've written it down for us, and we're thankful for that. And we're thankful for this time to come and gather and fellowship together and to sing to you, Lord, but most of all that we might be able to hear from you in your word. I just pray that you would hide me behind the cross, Lord, remove me out of the way, speak through me, Lord, help me to be clear, and Lord, help these people, Lord, and help me to be humble and receptive of your word. We love you in Christ's name, I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So Benjamin Franklin said, if you plan to fail, I'm sorry, I did it again. I did this last time I preached this one. Benjamin Franklin said, if you fail to plan, you are planning to fail. You've heard that before? If you fail to plan, you are planning to fail. And that's true, isn't it? That's true. Because what if we just showed up to church on a Sunday morning and you came up to pastor right before the message, right before he's walking up there, hey, pastor, what are you going to preach on today? I don't know. I'm just gonna let the Lord lead, right? I'm just going to get the book up there and open it up, and whatever's there, whatever the Holy Spirit says, I'm going to just say that, right? That would not be a very smart thing to do. I mean, sometimes that happens, but that's not the best plan. The best plan is to plan, right? And to think ahead and to find out what you're going to preach to these people and to know what that verse actually says, not just the words on the page, but to study it out and know and to give that to his people, right? The man of God, that's what he does, is he leaves the people for a time and he goes to God and he hears from God and God gives him a message and then he brings that message and he carries it to his people. And if you were to just take the word, just, okay, God, thanks, and then come back to the people, sometimes you say some weird things. I'm just saying. So it's important to plan in that way. Or what if you just said, hey, Brother Chad, what songs are we going to sing? Yeah, I don't know. We'll just sing. Just whatever comes to mind, whatever my heart leads me to do, is that we'll sing. Now, sometimes that happens because sometimes I don't know that I'm leading the songs. And sometimes we just do it and it works. But sometimes we do that and it doesn't work. I'm just saying, don't put faith in that, okay? It'd be better to plan for those things, right? Right. So we're not going to do stuff like that very often. Now, why is that? Because planning is important, isn't it? I have this really cool app on my phone. It's called Fantastical. How very clever, right? And so I have all these calendars, and I said, yes, calendars with an S, and it takes all these calendars and syncs them together. Because I have like a calendar for here at the church work. I have a calendar for bus barn work. I have a calendar for substitution at a teacher work. And then I have a calendar for my personal stuff. And then I have a yearly calendar that says, you know, what's going on in the year. And so all these different calendars, and it takes them all and, like, puts them all together. It's really cool. Fantastical, right? And if it's not on my calendar, it's just not going to happen, okay? Because I need to plan ahead. Because then things will fall through the cracks. I have a thing called Evernote. Who knows of Evernote? It's pretty awesome. That whenever something comes to my brain, like, yeah, I should do that, write on an Evernote. And then later on, I have a planned time where I go and look at those Evernotes, and then I do something about those. I put them in the schedule somewhere. Not all the time, but that's the plan at least. It doesn't always happen, but that's what I want to do. And that's what I do some of the times. So it's really helpful, okay? So it's not a bad thing to plan. In fact, there are times when not planning is very irresponsible if you don't think ahead about it. Like, me and Chelsea are getting married on April 22nd. What if I just showed up? Hey, we're just going to do this thing. April 22nd, everybody show up. Put no thought into it. You show up, it would be a disaster. Chelsea would be crying the whole day. It would be a terrible day. Start off our marriage with stress and anxiety. Not good. I was just thinking about it. There are a lot of things we have to consider. I even have an entire Evernote note that lists all the things that we need to consider. Things like when the wedding's going to be, where the wedding is going to be. It'd be good to know that. Designing invitations, who to send invitations to, like the invitation list, guest list, when to send the invitations, how to decorate the place, when to have the rehearsal dinner, where to have the rehearsal dinner, what food to have at the rehearsal dinner. That's an important one. That's one I really put a lot of thought into. Amen. What food to have at the reception, who should sing at the wedding, what songs to play at the wedding, and when should we play them. The list can go on and on. Which pastor should do it, right? Unless we want to go to the judge. Thought about it. I'm just saying. Just go to that room, $20, get the thing signed. Yes? No, I'm not doing that. So I'm just saying, there's a lot of things that can happen. And it'd be absolutely terrible if wedding day came around and there was no thought put into it at all. That'd be irresponsible. And God's not against that, right? He would be for you planning ahead for things like that. Vacations require planning. Mom's meals require planning. Right? Unless you just want to do it last second, that can get stressful. Preaching requires planning. It does. To do it biblically, it requires planning. So there's obviously nothing wrong with planning things out, obviously. But you better be careful that you don't allow yourself to become overly confident in your plans. Does that make sense? Have plans. That's good. But be careful that you don't become overly confident in your plans. There are some things that you might want to consider. And our text points out that James talks to these merchants about. There's some things you might want to consider whenever you make plans, okay? As I said in our text today, James is addressing some Christian merchants that were making plans for one of their selling trips. You know, they're getting ready to go. And these people made their living by journeying to a city to buy and sell goods for money. That's how they made their living, going to another city and buying things and selling things, and that's how they survived. It would require a lot of thinking ahead and a lot of planning. There were a lot of factors in their trip that needed to be considered and accounted for. And they had to put some thought into time and location and purpose, right, before they took off. That would be helpful if they did that. If they didn't plan well and think far enough ahead, things probably wouldn't work out very well. And they probably wouldn't be able to survive on what they make whenever they don't think ahead for their selling trips. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with putting considerations into things. The problem was, though, that they were far too confident in their plans. Look at verse 13. James says this to them. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow. So they knew when they would leave. We will go into such a city. They knew exactly which city they're going to go to. And continue there a year. They knew how long they'd be there and how long they'd stay. And buy and sell. They know exactly what they were going to do when they got there and get gain. And they knew they were going to make some money out of this thing. They knew all these things. And they were confident in these things. And James says to them, go to now. He says in a phrase that was a phrase that was designated to arrest attention, to say, listen up to what I'm about to say. What I'm going to tell you right now is really important. Make sure you're listening. And he says, I know you have all these big plans, and a lot of things to consider whenever you're wanting to do these things, but you might want to have a different mindset as you make your plans. You hear that? I know you have a lot of things to consider and a lot of things to plan for, but you might want to think about the mindset that you have when you make your plans. He reminded them of a few things. Look at verse 14. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. He told them, you don't even know what the future will, you have no idea what the future is going to hold. In fact, you don't even know what shall be on the morrow. They had everything all planned out and thought they had so much control on what was going to happen in their year-long trip, but they didn't even have control, truly, ultimately, they didn't even have control on the very next day. They had a whole year trip all planned out and were so confident. And as we'll see later in this text, they knew this was going to happen. They had confidence. They were boasting about it. They knew what they were going to do. And they don't even have control over the very next day. Okay? There was no way, no matter how much thinking ahead they put into their trip, that they could know exactly how it would all play out. I mean, their wagon might lose a wheel. That would be a bummer. That would change things. Highway robbers might come and take their stuff. The market in the city they were going to, maybe it wasn't going to be as high as they were expecting, and they wouldn't get the gain they were expecting. They might get strep throat. You know, that's a possibility. So anyway, they have no idea what's going to happen. Then he asked them a question. He said in the middle of verse 14, "For what is your life? I mean, didn't all these plans that they had considered and put so much confidence in, didn't they all rest heavily upon the course of their life, or even if they had life the next day?" Right? It would all rest pretty heavily upon whether they were alive the next day. And he said, "Your life is even a vapor. It appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." He said, it's like a poof of mist. Like, you never know how long it's going to be there. All you really know that it's there, and then before you know it, it's gone, right? Little poof, you know? And it goes in the air, and it vanishes. You don't know how long it's going to be there, but you know it's there, and then it's gone. And that's how our life is. That's the life of man. Life of man is frail, and it could vanish away at any moment. And so go ahead and make plans. There's nothing wrong with that, but you can't be overly confident in your plans because your future is uncertain. No matter how tight-knit your plans are, your future is uncertain. Some of you are still in school, and you have the next few years of your life all planned out. You have all your ducks in a row. You'll go to this college, you'll graduate from that college, then you'll get married, and then you'll get a job in your field, and then you'll have kids, and then this and that and this and that, and you have your whole life all planned out ahead of you. Can I just remind you that no matter how certain your plans may seem to be to you, that you have no idea what's going to happen tomorrow. You might lose your job. You might never get the scholarship you think you're going to have. You might not have a job to pay for what you think you're going to be able to pay for. God forbid a close family member may pass, and you may have to skip out a semester, and your time there might be extended a little bit longer than what you had thought. Or you might be the person who has that illness, and you won't be able to go to school, and you won't be able to have that job, and things can happen. The job market in that field might totally change, and maybe your degree won't mean anything whenever you get out in that job field. That happens a lot. You might totally change how you feel about that job. I know a lot of people who that's happened to. And you put so much thought and planning into it, then when you get there, it's like, I don't know if I should be doing this, you know? I'm not trying to be pessimistic or fatalistic or anything like that. I'm just simply saying that you have no idea. You have no idea what tomorrow holds. The future is uncertain, and your life is but a vapor. So don't get too confident in your future plans. Some of you have your financial future and your retirement all planned out. Got it all your ducks in a row. Some of you have the next 10 years thought about and accounted for. And there's nothing wrong with any of that. There's nothing wrong with any of that. But can I just remind you that you can't even truly have confidence in what's going to happen tomorrow. You can't even have confidence that you'll be alive tomorrow. And so why would you put so much confidence in those things? Maybe you're not. But I'm just saying that as you make plans, just bear in mind that you ultimately are not the one in control here. That there is someone in control and you're not him. So make your plans, but just keep that mindset in there. Some of you might not think so far ahead. Maybe all you know about is this week. Okay? So you're going to clean the house from this time to this time. And then you're going to talk to this person about this specific thing at this time. And you're going to run for this many miles. Or maybe not run for this many miles. At this time. And just bear in mind that you can't put too much trust and confidence in your plans because they'll change. And they can change. And they're subject to change because you're not in control of your future. And thinking ahead and making time for specific things, it's a great thing. There's nothing wrong with that. It's important to put some thought into what you're about to do. And the merchants in our text would have been totally foolish to just venture out on their business trip, having put no thought into when they would leave or how long they would be there or how much they planned on buying or selling. And James wasn't against their plans, and God is not against the plans that you have. Plans are helpful. You would be foolish to have no idea about where you're headed in these next few years or even these next few weeks or months. It's wise to think a step ahead in life, but plans are not in themselves wrong, but these Christian merchants should have recognized God in their plans and submitted their plans to him. And in verse 15, he says, "For ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that." And that's more than just, if the Lord agrees with it, then I will. It's more than that. It's, if this is what the Lord wants, then I will. And if the Lord doesn't want this, then I'm not going to do it. Does that make sense? Do you see the difference between those two things? It's not this is what I really want to do, and if the Lord agrees with me, and if the Lord lets me do this, then that's what I'm going to do. It's, this is how I believe the Lord is directing, and I'm going to head in that direction with the mindset that says, whatever the Lord wants, then that's what I want. Do you see the difference? Here's what James didn't say. He didn't say, "For ye ought to have waited for God to clearly give you those plans before you made those plans." He didn't say that. He didn't say, "Before you do anything, you must receive all your plans directly from the Lord." He didn't say that either. He didn't say, "Stay exactly where you are until you really feel in your heart that you're supposed to go on this trip." He didn't say any of that. He didn't say, "Since you didn't submit your plans to God from the very beginning, then you need to cancel all your plans and then restart as God gives you your plans." None of those things. He didn't say any of those things. He said, "Ye ought to say." He said, "Hey, before you get too confident in those plans that you've made, you should probably have the mindset that while you have these plans and can see something working out in a certain way, like the way that you've planned out, that you recognize that you're ultimately not in control and that you will only be able to do those things if the Lord wills that you do those things. You should go ahead and make your plans that you believe in, that you believe that are in line with biblical principle. Whenever you're making plans, think, is this in line with biblical principle? And that, does God seem to be directing in this way? And then continue through those plans, knowing that God is ultimately in control of those plans and that you only want to, those plans to happen if that's what the Lord wants to happen. Does that make sense? To make plans and make sure those plans are directly in line with biblical principle and that you can see that God possibly is leading in this way, but there's not going to be any, "Hey, go to this place," you know, none of that. Just know that as you go through these plans, you make plans and you think about God and you think about the Word of God and you think about the principles of God and you see that He might be working in this way and that way, and then you follow what it seems as though God is following, and then you, with this mindset in mind that says, if God wants this to happen, then this is what I'm going to do. And you go through, and then you know that if God doesn't want this thing to happen, then I don't want this thing to happen. And if you have that mindset, He's going to make it clear to you if that's not what He wants you to do. Does that make sense? I had plans to work a secular job here for the summer. That was my plan. You guys know, whenever I got graduated in May, my plan was to, I graduated college, I had to work somewhere to save up for grad school, because I felt like maybe God wanted me to go to grad school. And so I said, I can work here in Oklahoma City and save up money and then go to grad school. Or I know that there's a place there in Falls City where Pastor Moore is there and he can use some help. And I can work there and work a full-time secular job. And then I can help be the bus guy and the junior church guy and all of that. And then I'll save money there. And then I'll go to grad school. That was my plan. That was my plan. And then the Lord directed for the church to take me on for the summer, which I was very thankful for, as I was able to work full-time here and get the money that y'all saved for me to have for the summer, and then I would use that money, and then I'd go to grad school. It was pretty exciting. I was really excited about that. But there is none like, I didn't have any deep, ominous voice within me that says, "Chad, you must go to Falls City and work there for a summer. And then after the summer, you could go to grad school. Like, I didn't have anything like that. There was no weird, like, deep within me, this is what I must do. No, it's just I saw that God might be leading in this way, and I had in my mind, God, if this is what you want me to do, then that's what I'm going to do. And if it's not what you want me to do, Lord, please make it clear to me that you'd have me do something else. But as long as this is what the way that you're directing, and as long as you're not directing another way, I'm going to follow this path. And then I got here. And in a month into this thing, it seemed clear that God was able to possibly use me for longer than a summer. And that there was a need here for someone to do the bus and for someone to do the junior church and to start a youth group and to do the finances and some administrative things and to take a load off of a pastor who's been burdened for a few years doing all of this stuff on his own. And maybe God can use me here instead of bringing me to grad school. Maybe that's a thing. Maybe that's something that God would have me to do. And there were just circumstances and situations that I don't have time to get into all of them, but it just seemed like maybe God is doing something else here. I didn't just automatically say, yep, that's what I'm doing. Because there wasn't any like, this is what I must do, you know. It was just like, God is working this way. And so I talked to all my spiritual authorities. I stopped and I prayed about it. And I prayed for a whole month. I talked to all my spiritual authorities. I talked to my home pastor. I talked to my parents. I talked to a friend of mine that was the dean of students there in Oklahoma City. I talked to a lot of people that were spiritual authorities in my life to see what they thought, because whenever you get plans like this and changes happen in your life, your heart can get attached to stuff and you can think, this is what I must do. And that's when you get the mindset that's like, I really want to do this. And so I hope that God agrees with me. But don't have that mindset. Go to your spiritual authorities and submit those plans to them. Submit those plans to God in prayer. And then for a whole month, I waited. And I thought maybe, you know, my heart was attached to this thing. And I waited to make sure it wasn't some new exciting thing that I was following. And for a month, God did nothing but alter things in my life and navigate things in my life to make it clear to me that this is where God wanted me to be for a couple of years. And so I committed at that point to do what God wanted me to do. And that's all James is asking for here. He just recognize God in your plans, knowing that he is in control and you're not in control, and you want to do what he wants you to do. That's the key here, that as you make these plans and as you act out these plans that you have in your mind, if this is what God wants, as I'm doing it, if this is what God wants me to do, then that's what I want to do. And if this is not what God wants me to do, then I don't want to do those things. And God will make it clear to you as he changes your plans. And he'll guide and direct you. Think of the Apostle Paul, who was on his way to Asia. He was on his way. He said, I'm going to go to Asia and evangelize Asia Minor. And God said, no, that's not what you're going to do. And he directed him somewhere else. Did you think that James was not in the will of God whenever he thought he was supposed to go to Asia? You don't have to wait for like some ominous voice and some emotional experience in you. Honestly, a lot of the times, those emotional experiences are conjured up by your flesh and by your heart, and say, this is really what I want to do, and I can't see myself doing anything else. Well, a lot of the times, that's your heart. And you know, that happens to the world sometimes. You go talk to an actor. Oh, this is what I just knew I was supposed to do. And that's not necessarily how you should operate your life. You should make plans and see and look back and see God's hand in your life and make plans for the future and then submit those plans to him and trust him with your plans. Does that make sense? Just recognize God in your plans, knowing that he's in control and that you're not in control, and you want to do these things that he wants you to do only. And have faith that if you submit your plans to God and if you're in his will, that he won't leave you in the dark and he'll make it clear to you that it is his will. Have faith in that. Have faith that God's not up there like shadowing you and saying, well, I'm going to put you here and you just figure it out. You know, hopefully you make the right decision. That's not the God we serve. You need to have faith that as you submit your plans to God, that he'll make it clear what he wants you to do in some way or some fashion. And it'll be clear. It won't be some emotional experience or some doubt in your life or some anxiety that this is wrong. You know, he'll make it totally clear to you what he wants you to do. You need to have faith in that. Have faith for your future. Submit your future to him, having faith that God wants you to follow his will and he'll make his will clear to you. Because sometimes you just don't know. Sometimes it's not totally clear out of the Word of God, but God will make it clear in your life as He leads and directs you in your life. Have faith in Him. James is simply asking these Christian merchants to say this in their heart. If it is what the Lord wills, then I will, and by implication, if the Lord won't, then I won't. If the Lord will, I'll leave this day on my business trip. If the Lord will, I'll go to this city. If the Lord will, I'll be there for that long. If the Lord will, I'll make a profit. You ought to say, if the Lord will, I'll graduate. If the Lord will, I'll go to this college. If the Lord will, I'll get married on this date. If the Lord will, I'll take this job. If the Lord will, I'll wake up at this time. If the Lord will, I'll run this many miles. And somebody says, does it really have to be that specific to everyday life? Common tasks? Well, I don't see why it wouldn't. I mean, it's not like you have any more control of your future in the next 2 days than you do for the next few years. God is not less sovereign over your life over the next 20 minutes than He is over the next 6 months, is He? We should probably submit every plan we have to Him with knowing that in this mindset that if this is what God wants me to do, then that's what I want to do. And now, is James suggesting that we should have every time we make any plan or make any decision that we should speak audibly and say, if the Lord will, then I'm going to do this. If the Lord will, I'm going to drive to Sun Mart. If the Lord will, I'm going to go get gas, you know. If the Lord will, I'm going to wear this sock, you know. You don't have to do any of that. You know, I mean, it's not a lip service to God. It's a mindset that says, I only want to do in my life what God wants me to do. And I'm going to act out these plans, believing that God is directing it this way, and I'm going to submit those plans to Him. And if He changes the direction of my course, then I'm going to submit to Him and surrender to Him in that way. That's all He asks for you to do. It might not be a bad practice to say, if the Lord will, every time, but it's not necessary. You have to understand that no matter how much preparation and planning you put into something, that ultimately you have no control over tomorrow, and your life is a vapor, and your plans are not your own, and your time is not your own, and even your very own life is not your own, and everything about your future is so indefinite, and why would you put so much confidence into something that you know so very little about? But there is someone who knows all about your future. There is someone who not only knows all things, but is sovereignly in control of all things. Someone who loves you more than you can love yourself. Someone who has your best interest at heart and understands what's best for you better than you can ever understand what's best for you. And why would you not submit your every plan and every decision to Him? It's only right to do so. And it was only right for them to do so. But they weren't saying, if the Lord will. They weren't having that mindset. Instead of submitting their plans to God and recognizing God in their plans, verse 16 says that they were rejoicing in their boasting. And the word rejoice there isn't like rejoice in the Lord always. No, no, no. He's talking about rejoicing like in boasting. There's another word really for boasting. That's saying they were boasting in their boasting. They were bragging about their bragging, that they had this thing all figured out and they were experts in this thing and they knew exactly how long it would be there and they knew exactly the conditions that would be on the way there and exactly the market that would be there when they got to that place. And they had this thing all figured out because they're awesome salesmen, they're awesome merchants, and you should just listen to me because I'll tell you exactly how long you'll be on that trip. And they were prideful about that. And James said that such rejoicing, such glorifying, such self-confidence, he says it's evil in verse 16. And evil is kind of a strong word, isn't it? I mean, there's no mention that they were being dishonest in their business dealings or anything like that. They were, by all accounts, operating business like any other honest, upstanding merchant would operate. And their plans were normal plans. Just travel to a certain city, sell the goods that they brought with them, perhaps purchase some other goods and make some money. And is this not the way that every business owner worked, every merchant worked? What can possibly be so evil about that? Well, the problem was that James was pointing to was that they were, in fact, carrying on business just like every other merchant would carry on business. As Christians, they should have been well aware of not only of the uncertainties of the future, but also who holds the future. And they should have recognized and acknowledged God in their plans, the God who loves them, the God who has done so much for them, the God who knows what's best for them, the God who is sovereignly in control of all things, the God who alone knows their future. And James' point is not simply that they ought to preface everything they said with, if the Lord will. that would be only lip service to God. He wanted them to seek God's plan and follow God's will in their business trips, and by implication, every other facet of life, to recognize God in those things. And you can be going through life, going to work, doing housework, hanging out with friends, just living life like any other upstanding citizen would live life. Teens, you probably have a normal high school plans, high school student plans. Go through school, graduate, get married, get a job in the field you're studying, maybe even be more proactive than most in planning what you're doing. More than likely, even being more honest as you're dealing with these plans than most other students. Parents, you probably have normal parent plans. Raise your kids, provide for your kids, provide for their needs, teach them the basic life skills, spend quality time with them. You may have normal engineer plans. You may have normal electrician plans, normal college student plans, normal retired life plans, normal everyday citizen of Nebraska or Kansas or wherever you're from, Missouri plans. Right? Nothing fishy, nothing sketchy here. Just trying to make it in life. What could possibly go wrong? Well, it's very possible that you are, in fact, living life just like any other student, or just like any other employee, or just like any other citizen, but you're a Christian student. You're a Christian employee. You're a Christian citizen. And that you should know that you need to recognize God in your plans and everything that you're doing, and submit everything that you're doing to Him, and just acknowledge Him in everything that you're doing. The God who loves you, the God who's done so much for you, the God who knows what's best for you, the God who's sovereignly in control of all things, the God who alone knows the future, the God who alone holds the future and is in control of the future. You shouldn't just hear this message and leave here determined to verbally say, Lord willing. Don't just give lip service to God, but He wants you to seek His plan and to follow His will in your life, in every facet of your life. And self-centered bragging must be replaced by God-honoring trust. And to replace God-honoring trust with self-centered bragging is evil and sinful. But doesn't that all just seem obvious, though? I mean, of course we're supposed to do that. Of course we're supposed to trust God. Of course we're supposed to recognize God in our plans. Why are you making such a big deal out of this? Everybody knows this, right? And that's why James says what he says in verse 17. He says, therefore, in light of all this, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. These Christian merchants knew who God was. These Christian merchants knew that they didn't have control over the future. If they really thought about it, they knew that God was in control, and they knew they should submit their plans to Him, but they weren't doing that. They weren't doing that. Because the Christian merchants knew that it was good to submit their plans to God, but they refused to do that, James says they were in sin. Here's the bottom line, that you're a Christian, and you attend Valley Avenue Baptist Church, and you know who God is, and you know who you are. You know that He loves you more than you love yourself. You know that He's in control and that you're not in control. You know He holds the future and that you have no control over the future. You know that He knows what's best for you better than you know what's best for you. Then why is it then that we over and over again make plans to do this or that without even acknowledging God? Why is it that we don't submit every plan that we have to Him? Why is it that our mindset isn't, in every situation, if this is what God wants, then this is what I want. And if this isn't what God wants, then this is not what I want. You should submit your plans to the Lord because you're in sin if you don't. Because an unsubmitted tomorrow is a sinful today. Do you get it? An unsubmitted tomorrow, if you're living this life without submitting your tomorrow, so without submitting your future to Him, then it is a sinful today that you're currently in sin if you're not submitting the future to God. So when someone asks you, so what are your plans tomorrow? Just remember, an unsubmitted tomorrow is a sinful today. And what do you plan to do after graduation? An unsubmitted tomorrow is a sinful today. Who are you planning to marry? Just bear in mind, an unsubmitted tomorrow is a sinful today. What are your plans this week? How many hours are you going to put in at work this week? When are you going to spend time with your family today? There are a lot of things in this life to plan for and to think about and to plan for, but there's nothing wrong with that. But always remember that an unsubmitted tomorrow is a sinful today. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much again for your word and just for the simple reminder, Lord, of your word to remember you. And Lord, we know who we are as fleshly human beings, Lord, that don't naturally think of you and don't naturally consider you or your ways in our plans. But I thank you for the reminders, the grace that you extend to remind us of you and to remind us that you're in control and that we're not. I just pray that as we recognize that, that we would act upon it and to have faith in you for our future, faith to know that you know what's best, and that you're in control. We love you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.